Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
So this morning we're going to be talking about a very interesting subject that I feel sometimes we kind of underestimate, because the truth is that in more Pentecostal charismatic circles, if you want to call it that, and I don't like to be called a Pentecostal church or a charismatic church, we're a Bible church. We teach the Bible. We're non-denominational. We really are. We believe what the Word of God says. We are not a denomination. But that doesn't mean that we don't have a specific type of bent, if you want to call it that. And, you know, because Pentecostal churches have been associated to the things of the Spirit, we are sometimes a little bit like that in our expression. Unfortunately, when it comes to the Pentecostal church, though, sometimes, and it's not always like that, we focus so much on the gifts of the Spirit that we ignore the fundamental important part, which is the fruit of the Spirit. And I want to show you this morning how important it is to have both in your life, but I also want to teach you this morning a little bit about how to cultivate the fruit of the Spirit. Remember, gifts are given and fruit is grown. Fruit is cultivated, nurtured, it matures with time. It doesn't just appear on the tree. Like, a gift can be given to you just like that, whereas fruit is something that has to grow. It doesn't just come on its own. This morning, I hope that I'll challenge challenge you a little bit to do what is most important, and that is to serve God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength, with all of your might. And what has that got to do with the fruit of the Spirit? Everything. Absolutely everything. Let's look at it. Let's go to Galatians 5, verse number 16. Galatians 5, verse number 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. How many in this room can say, that sounds just like me? Thank you for half of you being honest. Amen. The rest of you, amen. We'll pray for you. Amen. It's so true that the flesh lusts against the Spirit. There's a battle on the inside of you. You may not be aware of it, but it is there. If you're a follower of Jesus, if you desire to follow Him, there will be a battle, because you must understand that the flesh is there. You're in it. You live in a body that is flesh, that lusts against the Spirit, that does not desire to do the things of the Spirit. So there is always going to be a conflict. There's always going to be this battle raging on the inside of you to whether you're going to do the things of God or whether you're going to do the things of the flesh. But look at what Paul says so powerfully here. He says in verse 18, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. I'm going to say that again. If you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. You are not under the law if you are led by the Spirit. Pick. Choose the law or the Spirit. Okay, thank you. Amen. And then he goes on and he gives a list of things. And every time I've ever taught this sermon or heard this sermon be taught, this part always makes the room get a little uncomfortable. Because he's about to show us the things that are contrary to the Spirit, the things that God does not like. And it makes us uncomfortable, but I want to kind of challenge you this morning to look at it from a different perspective. Give it a chance this morning and be open. Because I'm going to show you how these things are not what you desire. If you are led by the Spirit, the law, you are not under the law. Now watch. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, outbursts of wrath. God's making me say it a few times. Amen. Dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. It's a pretty loaded list. Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So if you practice those things, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, how on earth is this all going to work, God? So now he tells us what the nature and character of God is like. Because it's the fruit of the Spirit that we're about to look at. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness and goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. So if you follow the Spirit, if you are led by the Spirit, there is no law against these things. Because you choose to follow the Spirit, to be led by the Spirit. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Look at this now. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And as I said, normally the atmosphere changes a little, but it's not too bad right now. Praise God. And when we learn about the fruit of the Spirit, generally we are taught, which I will teach you as well, that the way to develop and cultivate the fruit of the Spirit would be to be in the presence of God, the Word of God, to be in prayer, to be in worship. He changes you. The Holy Spirit will do a work in you. Remember, it's not the fruit of Pastor Alex or Jason or Michael. It's the fruit of the Spirit. How do you get that? By being in the Spirit or by being led by the Spirit. I'll show you this and I'll break it down so it's easy to understand as we go on this morning. The truth is, on your own, you cannot do it because your nature is the opposite of those things. Your nature desires to do that list I gave you just a while ago. And some of us can resonate with certain things there more than others, right? So how does it all work? How is it that how do we cultivate? Okay, I understand it's the Word and stuff, but how does it change us and how does it work and how's it all connected? Remember, Jesus said something, or let me rather say this. Paul said something over here. He says here in verse 21, he says, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Why is that important? How does it all work? The kingdom of God. Let's take a look at it. Let's go to Matthew 4, verse 23. Matthew 4, verse 23. I'm going to try hard. Try and stay with me, and I'm going to try and break this down as much as I can. But this is so important. Now, honestly, and I say this often, but I can tell you this is one of the most important messages I've ever preached. I mean that. This is so important. If you grasp this morning, I can tell you now, if we do what this word says this morning, it will change us. Matthew 4:23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Jesus went into Galilee, and Galilee is not a city, Galilee is a region, which was really the Sea of Galilee, which is a large area, and it's not actually an ocean, it's actually a lake. But it's a really big freshwater lake that they call the Sea of Galilee because it's so large and it's so beautiful. It really is a special place. And Jesus went about all around Galilee to the little cities around Galilee, Capernaum and Magdala and all the different cities all around there. And he would go and he would preach the same message, the message of the kingdom of God, the message of the kingdom of heaven. And he would preach this message and he would preach one other thing with this message. Let's take a look. Mark 1, verse number 14. Mark 1, verse number 14. Now, after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. What gospel? The gospel of the kingdom. Because that's the message, the gospel of the kingdom. Repent and believe. It starts with repentance. When we come to God, when we come to the King, when we come to Jesus, it starts with repentance and believing. And through that, everything begins to change. But Jesus' message was not only a message that he would give verbally, but whenever he would go into any area, something would happen. He would preach, and then he would manifest the kingdom of God at the same time. So he would come and he would basically bring, almost like bringing heaven onto earth. Through him, as he would speak, he would lay hands on the sick and they would recover, and demons would get cast out, and people would be filled with joy, and the power of God would be manifest as he was teaching and preaching on the kingdom of God. Because people were waiting for this kingdom. So he came to minister on the gospel of this kingdom, the message of this kingdom. Now, how does this all work, and what exactly is the kingdom? Well, let me start by saying this. What Jesus was doing when he would give the message of the kingdom is he would preach the message, and the symptoms or the signs of the kingdom would be present. The symptoms of the kingdom, healing and deliverance, peace and joy, sounds like heaven to me, would be present on this earth right now. It's not difficult to see the kingdom of darkness at work because the symptoms of the kingdom of darkness are present. Symptoms like hate and depression and the wrath and sickness and suffering and strife and killing and abuse and rejection and all this evil is present. But what is it? It's a sign of the gospel, or rather a sign of the kingdom of darkness. So when you go to the doctor, you stand in front of the doctor, and the doctor will say to you, what are the symptoms of the sickness that you have? Well, I've been vomiting, and I'm doing this, and I'm doing that. And by those signs, he can kind of say, okay, I can tell that this could be this or should be this, and he'll check and he'll find out. When the kingdom of God comes, it will come, and the signs of the kingdom or the symptoms of the kingdom will be manifest. They will be manifest. The symptoms of the kingdom of heaven are totally the opposite to the symptoms of the kingdom of darkness. The symptoms of the kingdom of heaven are miracles and healing. But watch, because they are also righteousness and joy and peace and deliverance. These are all symptoms or signs of the kingdom of God being taught and manifest in our lives. Luke 11:20 says this, but if I cast out demons with the finger of God, this is Jesus now speaking, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. So the deliverance or the casting out demons is not the kingdom of God, but it's the symptom or sign that the kingdom has come upon you. Does it make sense? It's the sign, it's the symptoms. What did Jesus say to you and I in Matthew 6:33? Let's go look at it. Matthew 6:33. Why is this so important, and how does it make sense? Because it's kind of like we understand it, but we don't. Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What things? Everything you need. Everything you need to fulfill your destiny, to fulfill your purpose, to make it, to have everything you need is found in the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything will be added unto you. Can you say amen? Now, how do we seek this kingdom? How do we seek this kingdom? Luke 17:20. I'm going to give you three things to show you how we see the kingdom or seek the kingdom. But the first thing is very important because I need you to see this. Luke 17:20. Now, when he was asked by the Pharisees, look at the question because it's extremely important. When the kingdom of God would come, what's the question? When will the kingdom of God come? Right? He answered them and said, the kingdom does not come with observation, nor will you say, see here or see there. For indeed, the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is within you. Now, I need to point something out because this is very important. Just a little sidetrack, just a little extra. Not every Bible says within you, and those that do not say within you or inside you are wrong. Okay? And the reason why is because of the use of the original language. And it is important because you must understand when Jesus came, he said the kingdom of God is at hand or has come near you. Why? Because he was there, and when he was near you, the kingdom was there. But now he's saying that the kingdom will only come when the kingdom is inside you, not when it's come near you. So the Greek word for inside you there or within you there is the Greek word entos. Entos, and it's only used two times in the whole of the New Testament. It's used once for within, and it's used once for inside. The word that's used for has come near to you or is at hand is a different Greek word, and that Greek word is engezo, engezo, engezo. And basically that means just that, to come near to you. This is extremely important based on the question that was asked. Very important. So the first thing we know is that how will we see the kingdom? How will we know when it is coming? When it is within you, right? It's very quiet in Vero Beach this morning. All right. Let's take a look at another scripture. So first of all, we know that the kingdom is within you. How does it work? And what is inside you, right? Has anybody asked that question? Okay. All right, thank you. Amen. 1 Corinthians 4, verse number 20. Now watch. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Okay. So the kingdom is inside you. The kingdom is not in word, it's in power. Jesus went about doing good, healing all those who were oppressed by the devil, laying hands on the sick and they would recover, healing those that needed healing, touching those that needed a touch, delivering those that needed deliverance. You see, the kingdom does not come in word, it comes in power. The gifts of the Spirit are the power of God manifest through our lives. 9 gifts, but that's not all. That's only a part of it. Gifts and power go together. But there's more. We know the kingdom is within. We know the kingdom is with power. Romans 14, 17 says this. For the kingdom of God is not in eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Righteousness, peace, and joy. What is peace and joy? Fruit. Gifts and fruit will be present when you see the kingdom working. How do you know? Look at Jesus. What would Jesus do? How did Jesus live? When Jesus would minister the gospel of the kingdom, he would minister with love. He would minister with peace. He would minister with compassion. He would minister with faithfulness and goodness and patience. And he was amazing. Can you say amen? But yet he had great power. He had great power for signs, wonders, and miracles in the kingdom to be manifest through his life. The problem today is a lack of that, of the power, of the fruit. Those are the things that we need. But now let's recap real quick. 3 things. The kingdom is within, it's in power, and it's in the fruit. It's in peace and righteousness and joy, right? Now, quickly, let's look at Romans 14, 17 once again. How do we get this kingdom to operate and work in us. I'm so glad you're asking. Because we miss it. Romans 14, 17, for the kingdom of God is not in eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in what? Oh, what? The Holy Spirit. How do you have access to the kingdom? The Holy Spirit. How do you get the power? The Holy Spirit. Who gives the gifts? The Holy Spirit. Your relationship with the Holy Spirit is so vital. Jesus said, I'm sending him to be with you, to help you, to teach you, to show you things to come. It's the Holy Spirit that gives the gifts of the Spirit. He gives gifts to men. It's the Holy Spirit that will cultivate the fruit of the Spirit in your life. His fruit. Without him, you will have no fruit. Because you will act out of your own. And even that you do that is outside of him will have no eternal value. So we need the fruit. But look at this. I'll prove it to you even more. Because Jesus said to the Pharisees when they asked him, how will we know when the kingdom of God has come? He said, it will be within you. When does it come within you? When you give your life to Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside you. He lives in you. He leads you. He guides you. He shows you all truth. It's the Holy Spirit inside you that manifests the kingdom of God in your life. It's so powerful. Am I the only one that thinks it's so powerful? Guys, it is so powerful. Power, gifts, healing, deliverance, etc. The power of God. The power, the kingdom's in power. Fruit, joy, peace, love, all that stuff comes from the Holy Spirit. There is a difference between the gifts and the fruit, but both come from the Holy Spirit. One is not more important than the other in this life, but know this. You that desire the gifts, know this, because I also desire the gifts, that prophecy will be done away with, because it's in part. It will be done away with. When perfection has come, prophecy will be done away with. Gifts will fall away. All that will remain is your fruit. Because it's not your fruit, it's his fruit. Prophecy will be done away with, but love will remain. What is love? It's a fruit of the Spirit. True peace will remain. It's a fruit of the Spirit. True joy will remain. Listen, the joy that comes from the Spirit of God is a joy that comes when all hell is gone, broken out against you. You shouldn't have joy, but you have joy. Peace comes in the storm when there shouldn't be any peace. It's a peace that surpasses understanding. Love, a love that you and I don't understand. Jesus said this. He said, it's great that you love your neighbor and your brother, but I say to you, love your enemy as well. How do you love your enemy? I can't love my enemy, but greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. And if I surrender and am led by him, he will lead me to love my enemy as well. I can't do it, but he can do it through me. I'm giving you a little bit of meat this morning. Amen. We need both the gifts and the fruit. Jesus operated with power and with love and with peace and with joy. He did not leave one without the other. As a believer, as a disciple, Jesus said, the Bible says that if you want to know who my disciples are, you will know my disciples by their fruit. Amen. All right. Now, how many of you here know that when we give our lives to Jesus, we get to become children of God? Are you not thankful that you're a child of the King? Amen. I'm so grateful to be a child of God. Let me give you the scripture, John 1, verse number 12. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. So who becomes children of God? Those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So because we serve him and follow him and believe in him, we become his children. But how many of you know children are little? Right? So what needs to happen? We need to mature. How do we mature? I'm so glad you're asking so many questions this morning. Romans 8:14. Watch this now. Pay attention, guys. This is so important this morning. Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. Those who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. What does that mean? That means that the Holy Spirit who now lives inside you is the one who leads you. When you give your life to Jesus, you become a child of God. But in order to become mature, to become a son of God, you must mature. You must grow. How do you grow? How do you mature? By being led by the Holy Spirit. Who's the one who teaches you things? Who's the one who opens things up to you? Who's the one who reveals scripture to you? Who's the one who brings revelation and speaks to you and changes your heart and changes your nature? It's the Holy Spirit. The only way to true change is to be led by the Spirit. If you are led by the Spirit, you become a son or daughter that is mature in God. If you are not led by the Spirit, you will remain a little child. You will not become mature. Amen? All right. Are you guys getting this? Now, how many of you here know that Jesus is the only begotten Son, the first one? He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but even He had to be obedient to God. He had to mature, and at the age of 30, He steps into His ministry. The Holy Spirit comes upon Him. And He goes out and does everything the Lord says. Now, the prophet Isaiah gives an incredible word about the Lord's obedience. Watch this now. This is how we also should live our lives. Isaiah 50, verse number 4. I love reading Old Testament scripture that speaks about Jesus and what He will do. The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I shall know how to speak a word in season. How did He know how to speak a word in season? Because the Holy Spirit was leading Him. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned. How is this possible that the Holy Spirit would wake him up and would give him an ear to hear and speak to him about things to come? Because he was obedient, because he sought God, because he was led by the Spirit. How do you know this is a choice? Look at the next verse. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. In other words, I did not choose to follow the flesh. You must understand that Jesus was 100% God, but He was 100% flesh as well. He lived on this earth in a natural body with the same tendencies and desires and passions that you have. But He had to be obedient to the Spirit. He had to be led by the Spirit. And He says here that He was not rebellious. He was obedient to the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? Nor did I turn away. In other words, when God said go that way, He didn't say, oh no, today I'm rather going to do this. He was obedient to God. Now look, how do we know this is Jesus? Look at the next verse. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who plucked out my beard. I did not hide my face from the shame and spitting. This is not the prophet Isaiah. This is Jesus. Amen. Thank God for prophets. Amen. Beautiful. How do we develop the same nature as Jesus? By being led by the Spirit. If you want to be able to operate in your life by being able to do the works of Jesus, it's just as important to manifest the heart of Jesus. So it would be healing and love. It would be compassion and deliverance. And all these things tie together. We need both the fruit and we need the gifts. Both are just as important, one and the other, working together to manifest the goodness of God, which does what? It leads to repentance. It turns the heart of man. The goodness of God leads to repentance. It leads to salvation. It's the goodness of God that does this. Can you say amen? All right. How do we develop the fruit of the Spirit in our lives? How do we develop the fruit of the Spirit in our lives? I'm so glad you're asking. For 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Now look. But we all, with unveiled face, in other words, now we have an unveiled face, we have access to God, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by who? Who's the one that will do the transforming? Who's the one that will change you into the same image of God? The only one who can do that work in your life is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that lives in you. If you begin to heed His voice, if you begin to listen to His leading, He will transform you. He will change you. He will change you into the image of Christ. You will change. Your nature will begin to change. Your selfishness will begin to change. Your temperament will begin to change. You will react differently. You will no longer do the same things that you did before. You will still make mistakes, but you will notice change as you surrender. How do you surrender? By getting into the Word, by surrendering your heart, by praying, by worshiping, by being with God. But that's not all. There's more. There's more. And I feel so many times this is where we've kind of missed it, because that's often what we are told only. And it's absolutely true. The presence of God will change you. But how does your fruit go from just being fruit or just seeing this happen to, how does it become mature? How do you get better? How do you get stronger? Let me show you. Let's go back to Galatians 5:16. Because now you've heard all of this, and your perspective will be different. Watch. If I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. There's a battle going on. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. If you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. What does that mean? Let me ask you a question. Is it the law that changes you? So what changes you? The Holy Spirit. If you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. That means you've surrendered to Him. He will produce the ability to change. He will produce the ability to be transformed. When challenges come, when things come your way in your life, He will be the one that will change you. Your nature will be like, I should get angry. I should retaliate. I should have revenge. I should get drunk. That's your nature, but His nature is different. If you follow Him, He's the one who changes you. The law cannot change you. Only the Holy Spirit can change you. Here's the problem. We still have a fallen nature. We still have a fallen nature. So we'll see in verse 19, it says, now the works of the flesh are evident, because you must understand, even though we're following the Spirit, we still see that the works of the flesh, they are there, they're in our body. And you can read them all for yourself. Go to verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. In other words, if you choose to follow Him, be led by Him, walk in Him, listen to Him. He's inside you, talking to you, urging you on, encouraging you, showing you things. The problem is we're so connected to our flesh that we don't hear Him always. Or when He does try and speak, we reject Him because it's not our nature. But you have to choose. You have to make a choice to listen to His voice, to be led by the Spirit. Watch this now. Let me give you two verses and then I'm going to close. I'm almost done. Romans 8:5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Galatians 6, 8. I'm going to come back to that. For he who sows to his flesh, of the flesh will reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. How does this work? It works like this. Every day you will be faced with things that you have to do. The way you respond to those things will determine whether you are responding in the flesh or whether you are responding by the Spirit. When you go against your own nature, whose nature is working? The Holy Spirit. When your boss is shouting at you and he's completely wrong, and in that moment you know exactly what you should say and you should retaliate and accuse him, and everyone's watching and this is your moment, but instead of having your moment and acting in the flesh, you choose to back down and be patient. Where does that patience come from? It's not your patience. It's the fruit of the Spirit. In that moment, God begins to do something in you. I'm not saying that you must never, ever have confrontation. Jesus went into the temple, turned the tables over, and whipped everybody. Righteous. That's different. But there are times where you must learn to hold back, to listen to His voice. What does that mean? Be led by the Spirit. If you do that, if you sow into the Spirit, if you sow peace, if you sow love, when you shouldn't do it because your nature is the opposite, something happens to you. You begin to mature. You begin to grow. You begin to grow from strength to strength and from glory to glory. Suddenly, when something comes along your way that in the past you would freak out, now all of a sudden you have the ability to face that thing. You have the ability to handle it better. You can see things that you never saw before because now you have patience that you never had before. You have peace that you never had, self-control. Before you would retaliate, now you have self-control. That's the fruit of the Spirit operating through you. When you are led by Him. One scripture and then I'll close. Are you guys okay? All right. James 1, 2-3 says this. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces the fruit of the Spirit. Patience, one of the fruits. Everything you go through every day is going to test what you choose, the flesh or the Spirit. And every time you choose to listen to the Spirit, you will become more and more mature. And when you become very mature, like Paul was, you will still say, I do the things I don't want to do. And the things I don't want to do, I do. Why? Because your fleshly nature is always present. So you will never... I'm not asking or challenging you to strive for perfection. I'm saying to you, seek His voice. You're not going to get it right all the time, but if you do that, you are not under the law. You don't have to have guilt and condemnation. You don't have to suffer to try and do anything. All you need to do is say, Lord, here I am. Thank you that you're with me. I'll sit in counseling and suddenly I don't know what to do. And I'll say, Holy Spirit, what must I do? And He'll tell me what to do. I'll be in a situation where there's conflict. I'll sit back and I'll say, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do? How must I handle this? There are times I'm biting my tongue. Listen, I want to go. But I hold back. And to my disappointment, there are times I don't get it right. How do you get mature fruit? By being led by the Spirit. That's the secret. That's the key. That's how you manifest the kingdom of God, by being led by the Spirit. Jesus, after being baptized, was led into the wilderness. And then He went out and fulfilled His destiny. If you choose to be led by Him, you will do exactly the same. And both the fruit and the gifts, the fruit, the nature, the character of God, and His power will manifest through you. And that's how we as Christians are supposed to live our lives with His nature and character and with His power, both being just as important. Otherwise, Jesus would only have done the one and not the other. Otherwise, the disciples would have done one and not the other, but they did it, both. Philip went into Samaria, and after he went into Samaria, when the gospel finally left Judea into Samaria, and the Bible says that he went into Samaria and demons were cast out and the sick were healed and many were delivered. And the Bible says, and great joy was in the city. What was being displayed? Fruit and power. Fruit and gifts. Amen. Can we bow our heads for just a moment? Let's pray. Father, we can relate to Paul so much in this instant where he said, I do the things that I don't want to do. The things I don't want to do, those things I do. But yet, Father, we know that we have so great a salvation and that the kingdom of God is now inside of us. The Holy Spirit, you are living inside of us. My prayer this morning, Father, for these precious people, these precious souls, these children of God, these sons and daughters of the King, Father, would be that we would all be more sensitive to your leading, that we would desire gifts and also desire to heed your voice so that you change our character, so that you change our nature, so we become more like you. Not one of us in this place can pick up a stone and throw it at anybody else, because we all fall short. But yet, Father, this morning we choose to be led by you. Our lives are yours. Our hearts are yours. We desire gifts and we desire zealously to cultivate the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Holy Spirit, have your way. Give us strength when we have to face trials and tribulations and difficult times. But through those things, mature us, Lord, so that we can come to the fullness of what you've called us to do. I again thank you for every life that is here. Don't let us leave the same way. Father, let this word burn in our spirits, that it would draw us to consciously always be conscious of you. And so it is that we love you and we praise you and we worship you. Now I pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that the love of the Father, and that the fellowship, did you hear that? The fellowship, the communion, the relationship with the Holy Spirit be with you all as you leave this morning. Go in the peace of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you guys.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.